The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. So we thank God for today, and we give God all the praise. Teaching today is titled Restoring Purpose. Restoring Purpose. Last week and like 3 weeks before then, we started looking at the journey to restoration. We started with restoring sight, and the week after we looked at restoring sound, and last week we looked at restoring movement, and today we are looking at restoring purpose. Our text is from John 21 from verse 1. It says, later, Jesus appeared again to disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come to, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing at the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellas, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right side and you will get some fish. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish was cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Jesus, as we would say at this point, is the very first person to make fish burger, you know. There you see it in scriptures. Verse 10. Bring some of the fish you've caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Verse 12. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples then asked him who he was, including Thomas. They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you. Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question the third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Verse 20, Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciples Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" So Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die, but that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that with you?" This disciple is the one who testifies of these things and has recorded them here, and we know that his account of these things are accurate. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Amen and amen. So we see here that John the Beloved wrote this account. And that's why he said in verse 1, this is how it happened. In other words, this is not fiction. Jesus' life on earth is not fiction, as some people want us to believe that it was coined up. I mean, Jesus is an imaginary person, an imaginary friend. This is John, and he's saying there were several other disciples that were there, and he listed their names: Simon Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathaniel from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. So this is John saying that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. I don't know the phase that you are going through today. I don't know the challenge that you are facing as a person. God has sent this word to you today that He is alive, is with you, and He will restore your purpose. Hallelujah. God will restore your purpose. Hallelujah. So we see that Peter had lost hope. And Peter is that one person that speaks what is in the heart of other people. Sometimes he says the things that is only in his own heart, but because of his leadership clout, when Peter takes a decision, other people just follow suit. And Peter, remember, this said Peter was called from the boat while he was fishing, right? He gave up his boat, rather. Now, followed Jesus for about 3.5 years. Went through a whole lot of climatic experiences with Jesus. Was at the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the glory of God. Through the hand of Peter, miracles were done by Jesus, through the power of Jesus. This same Peter now eventually will cut off someone's ears, willing to cut off his head for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the same Jesus. This Peter denied Jesus and saw Jesus crucified. Now, the crucifixion of Jesus was hope dashed, purpose dismantled. They all thought they were going to be somebody beside Jesus. Jesus was going to be the president. Peter definitely was going to have a portfolio. Now, everything dashed. Purpose was dismantled. But you see, God has brought you here today. You may feel that disillusioned. You may feel like your purpose is without direction. You may even feel you don't have any purpose. Today, your purpose will be restored in the name of Jesus. So we see Peter saying, and here, at the after the resurrection, Jesus has resurrected. He has shown himself to them twice before now. But it's not like when Jesus was here, you know? Jesus would just come in and go. It was like Jesus was doing Zoom meetings with them. You know? Or Jesus was doing a video teaching, you know? He would just come in and go. It was like, oh, this thing is not like when Jesus was here in flesh. So Peter said, guys, I go fishing. If we cannot go forward, at least we can go backwards. You know, tiwaju ba se lo, but you will never go backwards in the name of Jesus. You see, many people, you think that God has brought you this far to take you backwards. No. God will restore that purpose. God will restore your purpose in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. With God, it is forward ever. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines how? Brighter and brighter. Oh, hallelujah. It shines how? Brighter and brighter. Unto the perfect day. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter. Your path will shine brighter and brighter. But back to the story. Peter said, I am going fishing. He spoke for himself. Peter did not say, let's go and fish. Peter did not say, you guys better come with me. We're going fishing. Jesus says, Peter said, I am going fishing. Now, see what happened next. We'll come to, so everybody else. You see, God has made you influential. That when you move in a direction, people follow you. You have to be careful that you move in the direction that God wants you to move to, otherwise, you can derail people. Praise the name of the Lord. You will only move in the right direction in the name of Jesus. So they said, we will come too. And you see, they went at night because they are professional fishermen. They know where to go, the time of fishing. And guess what? They caught nothing. At dawn, the Bible says that Jesus was standing by the beach. Hallelujah. But the disciples couldn't see him. It was just 100 yards out. 100 yards, I mean, maybe because of the fog. The disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? They still didn't recognize his voice. And sometimes God is coming to you and speaking to you. Not only don't you recognize him, you recognize his voice. So Jesus needed to do something that will bring about the connection. And many times, God shows up to you. You don't get it. He's speaks to you. You still don't get it. Now, it needs to juggle your memory. Hallelujah. And many times God has done this for us, God has done it for me, you know, where he juggled my memory. And I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, Lord, that is you. Oh, this is what you are saying to me, you know. Hallelujah. So they said, no, we haven't caught anything. No, they replied. Verse 6, then he said, throw out your net on the right hand side of the boat and you will find some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this season of restoration and beyond, you will hear his voice. You will respond to his voice. And you will have net-breaking miracles in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God will direct you on where to cast your net. That's so powerful. And that's so important. Now, but here's the deal. Even when Jesus appeared to them, they didn't recognize him. You could give, say, 100 yards is not so far out, you know. If you're a golfer, you know that 100 yards is not so far out. He's not approach shot, you know, right? Then, they didn't see him. They didn't recognize him, rather. He spoke. You've been with this guy for 3.5 years. He spoke, guys, have you found anything? And they still didn't recognize his voice. Then, he did something to jungle their memory. He did the same way he called Peter. For time, we'll have read that scripture when Peter was called, when Jesus called him. But probably know that story. He said to him, throw the net on the right side. And the same thing happened. Yet Peter and the others did not get it, but for one person. Verse 7. Then the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. You know, sometimes it is that person that is closest to Jesus that can be called Jesus's maneuvers. So, I thank God that, you know, we should have such people in our lives, you know, but we are better together. Sometimes Jesus is trying to get the attention of the group of, but you can't tell. But it takes a John to say, wait a minute, Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. I pray that you will have Johns in your life that will say, wait a minute, Peter. That person we saw that told us, that spoke to us that we did not recognize his voice, that told us what to do, see exactly, it is the Lord. God will speak to you in the way that you will understand. In the name of Jesus, God will speak to you in the way that you will understand. In the mighty name of Jesus. It says, then, when Simon Peter heard, you will hear. Remember, he heard the voice of Jesus. He didn't recognize. He saw him, he didn't recognize. He heard his voice, he didn't recognize. He saw the acts, he still did not recognize. Peter, of all people, should have recognized after throwing it on the right side. He still did not connect it. But John pointed it out to him. And when John said, it's the Lord, and pointed it out to him, Peter just carried his robe and jumped into the water. You have to love Peter. You have to love Peter. He jumped into the water. He could not wait for the paddling and the rowing. They were just 100 yards out. But he could not wait. The love for Jesus was unbelievable. He jumped into the water early in the morning. The water must have been cold. Peter jumped into the water. And headed to the shore. Then the others stayed in the boat. No. Think about it for a bit. The others, including the beloved that said that it's the Lord, stayed in the boat. I said to myself, where do I want to be? You need to ask yourself, where do you want to be? Remember when Jesus was walking on the water? And he said, Peter said, if it is you, tell me to come. And he stepped on water. Where did the other stay? They stayed in the boat. They stayed in the boat. Where do you want to be? Where the action is? Or in the boat? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Do you want to take the dive into the cold water? Or do you want to stay in the boat? Well, there's value for wherever you want to be. But I want to walk on water. I want to jump and run after Jesus. I want to be at the center of what God is doing. I want to be there when Jesus is making the move. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? So we see that the others stayed in the boat. They stayed with the boat. And they pulled out. Now, this is big. And they pulled the loaded net to the shore. But they were only about 100 yards to the shore. You see that? Only about 100 yards to the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. You will find breakfast waiting for you. You will find breakfast, you know, waiting for you. For everyone that understands that last, that everyone will chop breakfast. Listen. Don't judge me. Don't say, ah, pastor, that's not a Christian. I know. It's okay. But guess what? Last. Everybody, you're right. Jesus will sort all of us out. Hallelujah. He's making his breakfast. It's the breakfast of restoration. You will not miss your own. In the name of Jesus. They got to the shore. They saw the breakfast. And Jesus was doing some barbecue. Some bad barbecue. Fish, you know, barbecued with bread, fish burger. Nice one. They found breakfast waiting for them. Don't you love Jesus? Guess what? Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. What did they get to find? Fish. What did they have? Raw fish. What did Jesus have? Fish. What was Jesus' own? Barbecued. Hallelujah. Jesus at the head is. Now, don't ask me where Jesus got his fish from. I usually don't ask those kind of questions. I will just eat it. It's from Jesus. I will eat it. It will go well with my body. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't the word of God amazing? Hallelujah. We see that it is fish. Jesus is cooking, waiting for them. Now, something very pivotal happened next. When Peter was called, he abandoned the fish and came to Jesus and followed Jesus. Yeah, just abandoned everything. Was a family man. He abandoned everything. Guess what? This time around, what did Jesus say? Bring some of the fish you have caught. So Jesus is saying, I don't have a problem with you catching fish. I just have a bigger purpose for you. The fish you have caught. Let's barbecue. Let me show you one or two things on how to do this thing. So Jesus must have a problem with you catching fish. In fact, it will use the fish and barbecue it so nicely for you to eat. However, he's saying he has a bigger purpose for you. Your purpose will be restored today in the name of Jesus. For those that need clarity, you will have clarity. For those that have lost the purpose completely, it will be fully restored. For those that are losing it, like your gas, you are running out of gas, God will refill it in the mighty name of Jesus. So, it's so powerful that after he's prepared the breakfast, he said to them in verse 12, "Now come and have some breakfast. Everything that Jesus has prepared for you, you will enter into it in the name of Jesus. You will sit down and you will enjoy your breakfast in the mighty name of Jesus. You will enjoy your breakfast with the Lord." Now, afterwards, after breakfast, verse 15, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," just like saying, "Olufemi Munei, Olufemi, the son of Joachim Munei." I mean, he was calling him with his father's name. Peter, he was like this. "Sir, you know, when they call you like that, if God calls you like that, when Jesus calls you like that, you do like this. Put your hands behind your back. Say, 'Your boy is lawyer, sir. I'm here. I'm here, sir.'" He says, but after breakfast, hey, so pivotal. I wish we could unpack that a little bit. You see, many times as parents, we want to correct our children, redirect them. We will starve them, we will punish them, we will not feed them. We will make them self-punishment when correct them. No. Jesus fed them. Look at Elijah. Elijah said to God, "I'm the only one left out of all the prophets. He had, kill me, let me die." What did God do? God fed him before God began to instruct him. God is a kind God. God is a faithful God. God is our Father. And that's the example he's giving us. After breakfast, eat, let your, body calm down. After eating fish burger barbecued by Jesus, Jesus now said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" I can't imagine how Peter felt. Remember, everybody else was in the boat. Peter jumped into the cold water and swam to Jesus. "Peter, son of John, yes, sir. Do you love me more than this?" And Peter knows he loves the Lord. And he says, "Yes, Lord." Peter replied, "You know that I love you." Ah! Hallelujah! And you say to Jesus, and you say to the Lord, "Lord, you know that Olufemi Munei loves you. You know that." And you say that. I pray that you'll be able to say to the Lord, "Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you." Peter says, "You know I love you." Then Jesus replied him, feed my lambs. Then meaning, if you love me like you claim, feed my lamb. Ooh. Feed my lamb, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Peter said, well, you know I'm loyal. You know your boy is loyal. You know I love you. It must have been how you responded. You know I love you. Yes, I love you. But you know I love you. Again, I pray that out of the place of sincerity and honesty, and out of the place of accuracy, you'll be able to stand before the Lord and say to the Lord, you know that I love you. And your heart will bear you witness that you have spoken the truth, that you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep. What does then mean? Then means if you do, if you love me, then you do this. So then is what happens after a conditional statement is true. So if you put a conditional statement, if A is greater than B, then carry out this instruction. So if that is true, if you love me, then take care of my sheep. A third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? That was hurt. It was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know everything. If I am lying, tell me I'm lying. This is my heart before you. I've never lied to you. I've never been dishonest to you. I am sincere. And beyond that, you know if I'm lying. You can pick it out. You know the thought of all men. Tell me if I'm lying, Lord. You know what Jesus said? It doesn't matter whether you are lying or not. I'm not here to prove to you whether you're lying or not. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Jesus was restoring his purpose back. Jesus was saying, this is the purpose of your existence. This is the purpose of your existence. And he goes on to say to him from verse 18, says, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you stretch forth your hand and others will dress you and take, there's so much in there, but you know, another time, and into where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know the kind of death that he would glorify God with. Since then, this is where we're going. Jesus told him, follow me. Now, here's the deal. At elementary level of your walk with God, your love for Jesus equals you're following Jesus and equals your devotion to Jesus, your devotion in worship, in spending time with him. That is where we all came in through, right? Follow me. But it is still the same phrase, follow me. Follow me. But follow me means love me, and it means on the basic level, express that love by worshiping me, by your devotion to me. So to say that, I just want to stay with God, worship God and all that, fantastic. You should. We should never outgrow that. But that is level one. Level two, follow me, which means love me, means obey me. That's when you're getting matured spiritually. It's beyond, I love you, Lord. You sing and you cry on Sunday in worship and devotion. Then you are doing whatever you want to do on Monday and Tuesday. Then you come for tribe. I love you, Lord. Then you are back on Thursday. When you grow and you mature, love me. Follow me. It's translated to obey me. Jesus said to them at where they were at this level, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So from devotion to me, loving me and following me in devotion, in worship, should mature to love me and follow me in obedience. In obedience, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to say, I say them no more. The errors I used to make, I make them no more. So you are moving away from devotion to obedience. So your obedience at that level of maturity is the indicator of your love for Jesus. Your obedience, the first ground level again, is your devotion. You don't want to miss church, you don't want to miss fellowship, you want to join us, worship, you want to worship God by yourself, devotion. Then, if you stay on that level, I mean, kid you not, I don't want to put a percentage to it, but a large percentage of Christians are just there. And there are a lot of people that are keeping them there. They are happy they are there. But there's a higher level that God is calling you to. Higher purpose. And that is obedience. So, we see that if you love me, that higher level is you will obey my commandment. You will obey my commandment. Then there's yet a higher level, which is what Jesus was saying to Peter here, which is, if you love me, you will take care of my sheep. Oof. So when you see a pastor, not a God's Favorite House, or a minister that would rather not come to church because they had a bad day, at a bad week, Jesus is saying, do you love me? You say, yeah, but I did my devotion this morning. You're not a kid anymore. You're not a kid that got it. Oh, but I was supposed to steal from the office, but I obeyed you in obedience. I didn't steal. I was supposed to 2-for-1 but I didn't do. I was supposed to, you know, commit adultery, but I did not. I obeyed you. I was supposed to do this. But Jesus is saying that that's also not, that's kid stuff, as in on your level. He says, if you love me, what will determine your love and your following me? Because it says, for you, follow me. You just follow me, love me. And the indicator for that is service. It's service. It's service. The things you are doing to serve God's people. That is what shows at that level. That is what shows that you love God. So you're like, oh, but pastor, you know, I've heard people say all sorts of things that, oh, I mean, I don't need to serve, at least after all. I just have my quiet time. You're getting stuff. You should, and that should not be replaced by anything. You should add to that obedience. And guess what? You should add to that service. Service. Serving God's people. There are people that God has put in your life for you to serve them, for you to feed them. It's not until you mount a pulpit. Some people are serving in church. For instance, you're teaching children. Guess what? You're teaching. You're feeding Islam. For instance, you're in CMM. You're projecting scriptures. Guess what you're doing? You are feeding God's lamb. You're in the choir. You're singing the word of God. You're singing God's song, which is his word in song. You are feeding. You are ushering. You are guiding people to sit down so that they can hear the word of God. You are feeding. You are parking cars so that people can come into church and serve or and worship or and hear God's word. You are feeding. You are feeding Islam. And he's saying, if you love me, will feed my lamb. I pray that your purpose in God will be restored today. In the name of Jesus, your purpose in God will be restored today. In the name of Jesus. So finally, Peter got it. Jesus was saying, you're not a kid anymore. Oh, but you know I love you. Look at my heart. That's kindergarten stuff. You're not a kid anymore, Peter. Oh, but you know I love you. I obey you. You said you evangelized. I just evangelized that person. You said I should not gossip about that person. I kept quiet, Lord. You know I love you. As if it's not because of you, I would have gossiped the man or gossiped the woman. But because of you, I didn't. Jesus says, well done. But that's still kindergarten stuff. If you love me, feed my lambs. Hallelujah. Feed my lambs. So Peter finally got it. And this happens to a lot of us when we get it. When we get it, that's what we do. We look around. Am I the only one? And Jesus, is he only me? I don't know exactly what Peter. He says in verse 20. He says, turned around and saw John and asked Jesus, what about him? What about him? It's only me that's as if you're making me. I just came to worship. You're like, I should give this amount. I should sow. I should stretch my faith. What about that person? It's a mistake we make many times when we get it. When we get it, we are wondering, am I the only one that gets this thing? Nobody else has this body. Nobody else has this. Nobody else nonchalant. Everybody else is just going business as usual. So I'm the only one that's so passionate about this, or so passionate about that. Relax. You are in the right place. You are in the right company. Peter said, what about this? Guess what Jesus said? Jesus replied him, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that with you? As for you, do what? Follow me. Follow me, love me, feed my life, face your lane. I mean, maybe you want to help me say this to your neighbor. Say, Oga, you look nice this morning. Madam, you really look nice, but face your lane. Face your lane. But God, help this person. Take them too now, so that, you know, because we want, you see, your purpose that is being restored today is not for everybody. Your own calling is your calling. If God has placed that burden on you, do it. It is what God has called you to do. Do it. Stop worrying about John. But John also loves you now. How come you're not placing that burden on John? What about that person? What about this person? What about that? God says, whatever I say to them is none of your business. Face your lane. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that with you? In the road of destiny, there's no competition. Oh yes, there is no competition. There's no what about him or what about her. It is what about you? You, what about it? This God is telling you to do. What about them? What are you going to do about your own instruction? God taught me this years ago. I don't copy anybody. I learn from people. Of course, you know that. I learn from a lot of people. But I don't copy anybody as far as purpose, direction, what God wants. I face what Jesus has instructed me to do. Yeah. And that is how it is. Because when he comes, he's not going to ask me what he told John to do. He's not going to ask me what he told Peter to do. He's going to ask me what he told me to do. God is restoring your purpose. He's restoring your purpose. You are not want to be A, when God has made you to be B. There's nothing wrong with B. Hallelujah. You can't just stay on your lane and see your purpose being restored today in the name of Jesus. I see everyone that is out of alignment coming back to alignment in the name of Jesus. I see restoration of direction, restoration of purpose, restoration of vision, restoration of concept and ideas in the name of Jesus, restoration of instruction, restoration of positioning in God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every barrier before you and God's purposes for your life crumbles now in the name of Jesus. Your heart is right. Your mind is clear. You will hear clearly. You will instructions as God wants you to obey them, and so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name we have declared. Amen. And if you're here, you're like, Pastor, pray with me. I want my purpose restored. I want to come to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If that is you, wherever you are, we want to pray with you. Maybe online, maybe in church, wherever you are. I want to pray with you as we turn it over to the RP.
I want to just say this prayer after me. I say, Father, I come to you right now and I ask that you receive me. I declare that I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me. And today I confess all my sins. From today onwards, let my life be transformed. and take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us again to hear your word. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that every word that has been spoken today, Lord, will be of use in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. For those of us that have taken a decision to start our walk with you, Father, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you will strengthen our walk with you. Empower us to walk with you. Empower us to follow you. Empower us to serve you, to show that truly we love you. Father, we are grateful. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.